You are listening to Fanthatrax.
It's time to head south with the Fantha from Down Under. Here's your host, Adam O'Brien.
Welcome to the Fantha from Down Under, brought to you by, of course, the amazing Fanthatrax Radio on Fanthatrax.com. Star Wars news in a single file. I'm your host, Adam O'Brien, coming to you live from Quinlan's Cantina in the Gold Coast of Australia, here today to put a little bit of Star Wars and Dune love out there, because they are very similar universes and one might just have influenced another among many, many different influences. One of the great things about Star Wars is that it is that melting pot of different influences that George Lucas grew up with, not just Dune, but Akira Kurosawa, Flash Gordon, and of course many other things came into the vicinity of Star Wars A New Hope to make it what it is today and what you've enjoyed from them, this whole franchise. And it really is an interesting franchise as a whole. That's one of the things that I found brings to a head, I think, this great connection of some of the bigger franchises out there. I mean, even John Carter of Mars, they're similar in some ways too, because we've got a character like Luke Skywalker, who is a very heroic character, but also a character that is relatable, human, definitely part and parcel of what those things are. So today we're going to look at the differences between Luke Skywalker and, of course, Paul Atreides. Paul Atreides has probably more to do with, if you put it in Star Wars terms, with Anakin Skywalker, because it's a very similar path that way too. But we're also going to talk about some of the differences between each one, but also how they relate to each other. And I think Tatooine and Arrakis is a good place to start. So obvious one, they're sand planets. Tatooine, obviously being this sand planet and has obviously a rich, huge history, not quite the same as, of course, Arrakis. Arrakis has native people, the Fremen there, who are in some ways caretakers of this beautiful planet that, you know, when you look at it, it's barren, it's desert, it's got rock, and obviously it's got a couple of cities with Arrakeen and a few others. But I think the great thing about it is obviously it has the spice, which is something that is also in Star Wars. Doesn't have quite the properties that it does in the Frank Herbert's Dune universe, but it's similar in some ways. So Paul Atreides in the Dune universe is part of the Atreides family in the house, which is kind of like a governing body of Caladan, which is a water planet. It's very rich with vegetation. And with that, the father in this family, of course, Duke Leto Atreides, is given governorship of Arrakis, which is considered a great thing to have, obviously, and it also gives him power, the power of the spice, and obviously the trade with all the different houses and obviously the different factions like the Spacing Guild, the Mentats, the Bene Gesserits, and of course the smugglers and many other houses themselves and houses, major and minor. In obviously the Star Wars galaxy, Tatooine, the sand planet, has some little calls to that here and there. Tusken Raiders in this, which is in some ways similar to the Fremen. And they're based, obviously, in the deserts of Tatooine. And Tatooine obviously has Mos Espa and Mos Eisley and many other spacefaring towns and stuff like that. Part of those, too, obviously, is that they're a center of trade and places where a lot of smugglers go, Han Solo being one of them, of course, with his co-pilot Chewbacca. And obviously, too, there's a lot of different stuff that happens on the planet there. We've also got the Krayt Dragon, which is, in some ways, George Lucas's nod to the worms, the Shai-Hulud of Dune.
Hi, this is George Mann, and you're listening to Fanthatrax.
Tatooine, they use Dew Collectors. Same idea that's present in Arrakis as well. So I think this is something that was definitely pulled across into Star Wars, whereas Dew Collectors were used by the Fremen to get what they could of the moisture of something, the plant or whatever it was, to create the moisture and turn it into water. Obviously, and this is all through the atmosphere as well in it too. Sandcrawlers are a huge part, obviously, of the franchise as well, of both Tatooine and Arrakis having these huge contraptions or vehicles in this case. If you remember, of course, the David Lynch film, you remember those massive sand crawler that was being evacuated and before the worm hit it. But we see Duke Leto Atreides, of course, played by Jürgen Prochnow, coming in there with, of course, Patrick Stewart's Gurney Halleck, and then picking up the different spice hoarders there and putting them in the back of their ornithopters and heading back to Arrakeen. One of the interesting parts of that is, too, that's very similar to the Jawa sand crawler. Which I thought, you know, at the end of the day, is probably one of the more iconic vehicles, even from Star Wars itself. A great miniature working and really filling the eye. You know, it was something that really, I think, you know, even as a toy later with Kenner and Micro Machines, and even McDonald's had one at one stage there for the Happy Meals, I think, before one of the re-releases. And it is an interesting sort of connotation there too. And again, it's very old tech, you know, the way it looks. You can look at it and it definitely has that sort of old technology feel. Now, Spice, or Spice Melange, obviously is the one of the big parts of the Dune franchise. Spice is an intoxicant drug. It is something that will open your brain to higher functions. You're able to see the future in some ways, or at least a sense of the direction and things for, like, the Spacing Guild, which the navigators of these vehicles that the Spacing Guild use, these Highliners, they're able to pinpoint two different points in space and time and literally fold space. Part of that is that they're using spice in a big tank that they float in to enhance their brains and minds and obviously use the math, do the math of what those coordinates would be. It's literally, they don't power the actual vehicles themselves. What they actually do is, it's literally all they do is calculate. And it's getting to that higher function of calculating. And they're very much mutant by that stage when they get there too. You don't see that in the new film, but you can see different versions of that in the David Lynch film and, of course, the sci-fi miniseries, which came out in 2000. The Bene Gesserit obviously use it too to look through their minds themselves to their many memories that they have. And obviously their upbringing is one that is molding genetic structures through breeding and different journeys through that to get the ultimate human, the chosen one in the Dune universe, which is the Kwisatz Haderach, which is, of course, a male, the Bene Gesserit, basically. A male Bene Gesserit, they can look both back into male and female histories and also forward as well and carve a path, a golden path, which, of course, is part of Paul Atreides and his family's journey moving forward past Dune.
For everything in one location, daily news, reviews, interviews, podcasts, video and social media feeds, bookmark FanthaTracks.com for Star Wars news 24/7, 365.
Now, there's spice also in Star Wars series, which is a lot to do with Jabba the Hutt, Han, and Lando, and Chewbacca. A lot of the different runs they've done, of course, is this drug, spice, which they'd hoard on their, you know, Millennium Falcon and stuff like that, and take around the place. So that's a big part of it. It is a, you know, it's a monopoly itself. There is a lot of different things, but it's a dangerous drug and one that you find on Kessel, which you can see part of that universe in, obviously, the Solo movie as well. Both series have stormtroopers, or in this case, Sardaukar, if you like, in the Dune universe. Now, the Sardaukar are the Emperor's troopers, the Emperor's knights, the Emperor's toughest troops, even to the point where the Harkonnen, who think of themselves as the best, even hire the Sardaukar and then put them in Harkonnen outfits to fool the Atreides and the Fremen that they're actually Sardaukar out there. They are strong, they're tough, they're some of the best sword fighters out there too. Now, when you look at that and compare it to Star Wars version, and obviously we're talking about one who are the Imperium's or the Imperial Sardaukar, and then the Empire and the Empire's Stormtroopers. And the Stormtroopers are not in the same league. It's more a game of numbers in Star Wars. So it's, again, both part of a totalitarian system, but still part of it too. Part of the series that's interesting is also the fact that we have characters in this series that both come from villainy. So if you look at Paul and Alia Atreides, their father, obviously very good lineage through the Atreides, but through obviously his mother, Jessica of the Bene Gesserit, she didn't really know until too late that she was actually Harkonnen. She is the Baron Vladimir Harkonnen's daughter. And so they are children that are both Atreides and Harkonnen. So there's a bit of villainy in there as well. And it's kind of like the learning that Luke Skywalker does when he finds out that he and Princess Leia are part, Darth Vader being the big one in that one too. We've got the Force, which is a big part of the Star Wars universe. And, you know, it's an interesting one. The Force was something that was definitely influenced by different religions and even different sci-fi that have been out there. Things like Green Lantern or E. Doc Smith's Lensman series, where things are focused through something, or even in this case, something that's not there, which is the Force. You know, it's around, it's a living force, and you can bend people's wills, all that sort of stuff. Now, this is definitely influenced by the voice, which is something that Bene Gesserit are able to use. And it's the use of power through, obviously, mental strength and conditioning that allows them to have control over another person. So long as they're easily willed, they can definitely do this. And it's something that is usually used, obviously, in the Force and stuff like that too. Duncan Idaho, one of the cooler characters in the series, has always been called the Han Solo of Dune. And it's an interesting one because he's kind of like one of these guys that's able to be cooler on any level, you know, to the point where he goes out to the Fremen and the Fremen even think he's cooler than they are. You know, he's the ultimate sword fighter. He's probably the best. But he was so good, Frank Herbert killed him off in the first book before anything really happened in the series. He was dead. One of the interesting things about doing that was that it, you know, created a sort of a vacuum for more characters to become heroes, and obviously Paul being one of those. Frank Herbert loved it so much he just kept bringing him back. You know, Duncan Idaho becomes a Gola or a clone in every other book, and there's hundreds of clones of Duncan Idaho by the time we get to the Dune 7 or Hunters and Sandworms of Dune. But he's very much like Han Solo, which is one of the coolest characters in Star Wars.
Hi, this is Andy Secombe, otherwise known as a Watto, and you're listening to Fanta Tracks.
Now, the Jedi and the Bene Gesserit are probably the closest in terms of, you know, the way the series has in terms of mysterious and mythical characters. Now, Jedi Bendu was something that was in the original scripts of Star Wars, and it was an interesting idea that he had originally, and obviously they dropped the Bendu part, but then we've got Prana Bendu, which is the Bene Gesserit martial art. It's a method of training and control that builds the musculature and obviously the speed of humans so fast that you can anticipate moves quicker than any other. Now, this is not really shown too well in Denis Villeneuve's two films, but you can see it in the miniseries quite well when Jessica is training the Fremen, and those that learn it become Fadaikan. Now, obviously, we've got Jabba the Hutt being a big character in Star Wars, obviously, huge part of the Hutt gangster empire. Part of those, too, is the fact that that all comes and stems from Leto II, Atreides, which he becomes a sandworm by God Emperor of Dune. He's taken on the worm and children of Dune, and he becomes a superhero. And that one saves the day at the end of that novel against the Jakarutu, the Forgotten Ones. But in this case, you know, 3,500 years later, the worm has really taken over his body. You know, I urge people to read God Emperor. It's not the most action-packed of the series, and if not, there's only action towards the end of it and a little bit at the start. But it is an epic read. It really is. That and even Heretics are some of the more interesting novels in the Dune series because it doesn't follow that classic format that you like. They're just some of the ideas that Dune has when it comes to being close to the, you know, the galaxies of Star Wars and beyond. But I want to know what you think out there, folks. You know, this is the Fanta from Down Under. We look at things from those sorts of angles, but let us know what you think out there. Even some of the newer parts of Star Wars that are still influenced by Dune and the parts of Frank Herbert.
Well, that's all we have time for here tonight on the Fanta from Down Under. And we'll catch you next time, same place, same channel, and of course, with more Star Wars news in a single file from FanthaTracks.com's Australian edition. That's right, we'll catch you next time. So, until then, may the Force be with you, and enjoy your Star Wars fandom. We'll see you next time.
Warning, no Tauntauns were harmed in the filming and recording of this podcast.
Coming up next on Fanta Tracks Radio, it's Making Tracks.